I also sleepwalk, and I would have panic attacks in my sleep and just like freak out around the house I wasn't even aware it was
that
happening.
That must have been a terrifying thing to observe.
Oh yeah, just screaming that I'm dead. Just waking up everyone in my house like, I'm dead.
Just out of curiosity, the gym you go to, is it one of those gyms where the ladies are walking around in tiny clothes?
It's a Planet Fitness, so it's like there's some of that, but it's a lot of people doing bizarre things too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not using machines right?
Yeah, a lot of not using machines right. Just like I'm watching a guy do like lat pull down so heavy that when he's done, it pulls him off the chair.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're just going, he's like getting air.
Man, it would be crazy if he started doing tricks like as he's getting air.
Yeah.
You know, like lift both feet up to the side, do a little 360, come back down, pull it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't go to a gym like that, but I would always, right, especially right now, I'd be concerned with, you know, accidentally looking at a girl in skimpy clothes while she's recording herself.
Oh yeah. I'm always on pre-workout and weed when I go in, and I just, yeah. It puts me so in my own zone that I like don't even acknowledge any other person there.
That's a good combination.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could get so high that I wouldn't be a pervert, though. I think that's my issue. I think I have two, like my, I'm also in my 40s.
Yeah.
So once you're in your 40s, you are biologically a pervert. There's nothing I can do about it. And I can't even help it.
Yeah. My mind and eyes are just moving around so fast. I'm not looking at a single thing for longer than a second.
Yeah. I don't even have to look like, there could be like a half naked girl behind me and I would just be like,
You could just feel that. Yeah, you just feel the energy.
It's just a vibe now.
Yeah. You just feel heat behind you.
Yeah. Yeah. Do I smell midriff? Yeah. So, Tyler, do you meditate at all?
No, not really. Maybe when I'm too high on edibles, like just saying I have to sit still for a while. That's probably the closest I get.
Only by paralysis.
Yeah. Yeah, where I'm trying to control. Like, I feel like I have G-force on me, and I'm trying to control it.
I don't meditate, but I do sometimes get really uncomfortable.
Yeah. I get so high, I have to think real hard.
Okay, so one of the things that we do before we start the podcast is we do a little meditation.
Okay.
It's, Anthony, I guess you can explain it.
Yes, we are going to breathe in slowly, hold our breath, and then we're going to breathe out slowly and then hold our breath. It's called a box meditation because you know, it's like four sides of the box. You breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth.
All right.
Yeah, and it's just two breaths.
All right, that sounds doable.
Okay, yeah, all right. So, all right, Ace, take it away.
All right, ready? So breathe in for three. One, two, three. Hold it. Two, three. Breathe out. Hold it. Breathe in. Hold. Breathe out. Hold. And we're good.
Okay.
Beautiful. You feel good?
Yeah, that was good.
Hell yeah.
I think that helped.
Yeah. Nice. Now we can start the podcast.
Yes.
Once again, the Chakra Poppers are back. I'm sitting next to Ansley.
Hello.
I am Sydney. And today our guest is none other than the Tyler Langlois.
Hey.
Did I nail it?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah. Yep. That's a cool name.
Yeah.
Tyler Langlois.
Langlois.
No, is that, did she say it better?
They're both good for me.
Nah, dude.
He said better.
You need to make a decision. Side here.
I'm so used to people saying it so wrong that even kind of right, I'm like, you nailed it.
Okay.
Wait, what did I messed up. Yeah, what did I mess up?
Which one of us was
nice.
Kind of right?
Say them again.
Okay. Langlois.
Langlois.
You are putting you're putting some extra on there at the end.
I believe I won that battle. Yes. So, Tyler, do you know what we do on this podcast?
I know you guys get like real deep.
Okay. I mean, it's up to you. You're going to be the one doing all the getting.
Okay.
Right? So basically the premise of this podcast is to prove that anybody, no matter what type of sense of humor they have, can potentially reach enlightenment. So everybody gets the same questions, and each question is going to be associated with opening up your chakras from the bottom chakra to the top chakra.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you ready for that?
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
Okay. So the first chakra is called the root chakra. It's located in and around the butthole. We don't have to touch you to deal with it, but are you okay with that?
I'm okay with it.
Okay. We feel like we have to get permission. We need consent because it's such a sensitive area chakra.
What would you do if someone wasn't?
We'd hold you down. Yeah.
Then we touch you. All right, so the first question is a little icebreaker question, and then we get into popping open your chakra. So Ace, take it away.
So Tyler, what situation or event did you learn the most information from?
Okay. Hmm. They are, yeah, you're right. They are. I just listened to some episodes yesterday, and I forgot all the questions immediately. And I was like, and just now I'm like, oh yeah, they do get deep immediately. Yeah. Situation I learned the most from? I don't, one situation I learned the most from. Fuck. This is hard. I'm sorry. I'm doing bad podcasting now.
No, you're not at all. I think what you're doing is showing us that you have a learning disability.
Yeah. I do. No, I feel like I'm just trying to think of like a specific event that made me realize some of these things.
Yeah, or just a general situation, just like a time where you felt like you learned a lot of lessons in, for life.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I guess I've made a lot of big changes over the last year or so, and I learned a lot of lessons through that.
Okay.
Just like we were talking right when I got here about I've lost like 100 pounds.
Oh wow.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Just completely changed my lifestyle. And I was also very straight edge until like 3 years ago.
Okay.
And I think that's honestly the biggest, I think getting into weed and mushrooms taught me a lot about the way I was living beforehand. Like I was just white knuckling life for 29 years.
Okay.
And I realized I never even considered it, but my vice was food. Like I treated food like it was drugs that I was abusing.
Okay.
And I think that realizing that, I was like, oh, I like my relationship with the way I eat is so fucked up.
Now, if you don't mind me asking, before you realized that food was your vice, did you consider whether or not you had a vice at all?
No, I was like, I don't have any vices. Yeah.
Damn, I'm perfect.
Yeah. I was like, everyone who is on drugs and drinking is a moron, and I'm living my life the right way, even though I was, you know, 350 pounds.
Yeah, why can't everybody just be like me?
Yeah.
And that's a wild combination though, that you started smoking weed and doing mushrooms and then lost weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Right?
It's counterintuitive.
It's very typically, I mean, not typically, but a lot of times one of the catalysts, one of the things that helps people lose weight is to stop smoking weed and doing mushrooms. And then because of that, they're not munchying all the time.
Yeah, no, doing drugs fixed a lot of my problems.
Did you not do, were you straight edge before out of, was that a response to something that you saw in your life or like
yeah,
what?
Yeah, my birth mom was an alcoholic and I'm pretty sure a heroin addict. I'm just too young to know for sure that she was doing heroin, but
yeah,
according to my dad and hindsight, I'm like, oh yeah, she was on heroin.
Yeah. You just thought she was a Tai Chi master?
Yeah. I thought she was hanging out with homeless one-legged guys for fun.
Okay. So if you had to basically wrap up what it was that you learned from these experiences, you're both the experience of starting to do weed and mushrooms and losing weight, like how would you contextualize that? Or how would you wrap that up, what you learned?
I think I learned not to let my anxiety and stress and depression like control so many of the things I do and the way I behave, like just like oh, I'm stressed out. What if I had a soft pretzel from Quick Check?
I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
What if I had 4 king size Reese's?
So what do you do now to deal with stress? Now that you're not stress eating?
I'll hit my weed vape a couple times.
Drugs, dude. I do drugs.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Like a normal person.
Yeah.
So like everybody needs advice. You say that. You used to say that. Like everybody needs something.
Well, I think everybody, regardless of whether we like to admit it, everybody has something that is a vice to them.
Yeah.
So I think what we have to do is learn how to lean into our vice in a way that we can make it healthy for us.
Mm.
So I don't know if everybody necessarily needs advice, but everybody does have a vice.
Yeah.
Whether we admit it or not.
Yeah.
That it used to be the phrase everybody needs advice. And I think that was the wrong way to look at it, because then I was like looking for something to get addicted to. And there's just too many easy options out there.
Yeah. You know?
But
yeah, you just got to find, it's not looking, it's just like stumbling upon the ones that work for you.
Exactly. Exactly. It's so yeah. So, all right. So that's good.
Yeah.
I love it that drugs fixed his life.
Yeah. Take that.
Drugs really turned things around for me in a very positive way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, DARE program.
Yeah, I know.
I was taking the DARE program too seriously for too long.
Yeah. All right. So now we're going to get into popping open these chakras. All right. And like we already discussed, the first chakra is located in and around the butthole. You already consented to that. Ace, take it away.
All right. So Tyler, how did you learn to overcome fear?
Facing full-blown panic attacks head on for several years.
Okay.
I also sleepwalk, and I would have panic attacks in my sleep and just like freak out around the house.
Oh,
while
geez.
I wasn't even aware it was
that
happening.
That must have been a terrifying thing to observe.
Oh yeah, just screaming that I'm dead. Just waking up everyone in my house like, I'm dead.
After a while, it'd be like, you're not dead, you're waking me up.
Yeah.
Like,
for the last time, Tyler, you're not dead. Yeah. Okay, so that's a different version of sleepwalking than I've ever heard before.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a lot as a kid, and I didn't do it for years until like the end of high school, and it became like a legitimate issue.
Because
it was not chill sleep. Like, I would leave the house, I'd...
Oh, no.
A lot of screaming.
The times you left the house, how far, like, when did you get... Did you get very far?
I don't know.
How far did you get? You don't know? Would you come back?
Come back?
Yeah,
you came back?
Yeah. They didn't know I was gone until I got back. They had to put bells on the doors.
What?
Because apparently I knew how to do all the locks.
Yeah.
I would send text messages.
Really?
And that was like when flip phones were still a thing. So I was like doing T9. Just like,
some of the best texts I've ever sent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild.
You ever find yourself, like, did you ever come to and you'd just be like... Like, when you come to, did you always make your way back to bed, or do you come up to and you're like, where am I? What am I doing?
Yeah, I came to, I think it's weird because I would always kind of remember when I woke up. I'd be like, oh, I got up to stuff.
Yeah.
And then, so like, I would have a vague memory. And then I think the more I understood what was happening, the better I got at like having that small little piece of consciousness, like catch me while I'm doing it. And then I'd be like, you know, I would have left my room, walked to the staircase, and then in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here. Turn yourself around. Like, I still don't have full control, but I'd be like, turn around, and like have to tell myself to do the things. And then like slow, like I would like wander back. But I would wait. I'd wake up like, I woke up mid shit once. That was bizarre.
That sounds bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't even imagine if it would be a good feeling. You know what I mean? Like, you're waking up and let's break down physiologically what's happening when you're shitting, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you sit on the toilet, you start to take a shit, the shit is coming out of your butthole is widening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now you feel that your butthole is being filled, right? You
mm-hmm.
feel like there's girth in your butthole right now. So you woke up to girth in your butthole.
100%.
Must have been very relieved when you realized it was
just
a shit. Just
taking a very forceful shit.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, until you, like, for a split second, if you don't, you have to realize that it is a shit. The girth that you're feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that must have been trippy. For a split second, you're just like, okay, just a shit. Because that could be anything at that point, right?
Yeah, it could be anything. And you're like, oh, thank God I'm on the toilet.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank God I'm not sitting on the washing machine right now.
Because I've definitely pissed in a garbage can before.
Okay.
Man.
Yeah, I would like, I think my dad slapped me in the face one time while I was sleepwalking. Because I think it got so bad, he just hit a breaking point.
Yeah.
He's like, let me see if this works.
And I think, no, he like decided, he's like, you know what? This is so bizarre. This can't be sleepwalking. He's like, you're on drugs.
Mm.
He's like, you're taking acid.
He tried to slap the acid out of you?
He's like, you know, I was taking acid and it was in my body so much that it was kicking in again while I was sleeping. Like those things where you hear like is in people's spines when they crack their back. You hear those rumors when you're... Like you crack your back and then like the acid was stored in there and you trip all of a sudden.
I've never heard that.
No.
I don't think I've done enough acid to be part of acid culture to have gained that information.
Yeah. I feel like I've heard that like rumor before where like it like stores in between your bones and things like that.
Okay.
Or stores in your hair and stuff.
Goodness gracious.
But I think it's all made up.
Yeah, it could be all made up. It could be.
But also, I wasn't doing acid.
You were stone sober at this time.
Yeah, I was very aggressively straight edge, wearing kill your local drug dealer t-shirts.
Man, that must have been such a crazy thing to see.
Yeah, and then I guess I reacted so poorly to him. He yelled at me. No, did I say my dad slapped me in the face? No, yeah. I slapped him, actually. My bad.
Oh.
He accused me of being on drugs while I was sleepwalking, and I was still so straight edge even in my sleep.
How dare you? Yeah. Like you took your glove off and smacked him across the face with it. Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, I think moments before he accused me, I was asking him like a nonsensical question, like, can cars be brother and sister? Because nothing I said in my sleep made sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this is, I'm loving this so far.
Yeah.
So I always like to ask this question during this section, but can you remember a time in your life when you were the most scared?
The most scared. Let me think. There was times when I was really young living with my birth mom where I was pretty scared.
Okay.
It's about like, cause like she, I mean, we moved around a lot. I think she told Child Protective Services my dad was dead. Because she was very vindictive. So there was definitely times where people were knocking on the door trying to check in and like be like, hey, what's going on? Because she wouldn't send us to school. And I just remember being in there and her yelling like, you're not taking my children away, like with the door locked and stuff. Yeah, remember that being very scary.
Yeah.
It was you and a brother or a sister?
Yeah, my brother, who's 2 years younger than me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, being on heroin is a different kind of sleepwalking. You and your mom were just sleepwalking through life together.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay. That is pretty wild, man. That's one of the things that, if you don't know, when you live with a mom who is a drug addict, she's living an exciting lifestyle and you're kind of just being taken for a ride.
Yeah.
That you have no idea how these consequences are going to manifest.
Yeah. Like moving in the middle of the night and like, she's just like, but we get to live by the ocean now. And like, that's like the spin she's putting on it. I'm not questioning at like 7 why we're moving into a new apartment at like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
With no warning beforehand.
Yeah. It's just all of a sudden all your clothes are in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think we consider that a chakra pop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. And then... Now we're going to move on to the next chakra. Ace, take it away.
All right, Tyler, this is our pelvis chakra. It's a little segment we like to call My Bad. So it's an opportunity for you to apologize to a person, place, or thing in order to set your karma back to neutral.
We just got done doing Tyler's Patreon episode, and boy, was it fun.
Yes.
Tyler, did you have a good time?
Yeah, I had a great time.
Hell yeah. It was an absolute blast. And $1 gets you all of our exclusive content on our Patreon, which not only includes the counter to the podcast that you're watching right now, where we're going to open, or we did open, Tyler's Shadow Chakras, but we also do some fight commentary and analysis on Ansley's Jiu-Jitsu matches. I also want to remind you guys to follow Tyler on social media at Tyler J. Langlois on Instagram. Do you tweet?
Not really. I have a Twitter, but I don't really use it.
Same handle?
Yep. All my handles are the same.
Check him out. Go to all the social medias. Force him to do things on social media that he doesn't want to do. Make him tweet. You can also check out my podcast, my very new podcast, Break the World with Sydney Gant. It's a good time. It's a solo podcast, just me talking a bunch of crap about a bunch of different things, and it's an absolute blast. Ansley, you got some fights coming up?
May 11th, Ground Zero Grappling in Philadelphia at the Sheet Metal Union Hall. I don't know. It's a place. And then the weekend after that up at the Finishers Open.
All right. So now we're going to get back to this episode and find out who or what Tyler has to apologize to.
Okay. Let's see, who do I need? I think there's just like a blanket apology I need to do to like lots of people.
Okay.
Because I don't realize this about myself. In my head, I'm like shy and like kind of timid, and then I'm constantly confronted with my friends being like, yeah, so-and-so just asked me if you hated them. So I'm constantly learning that people think I hate them. I guess I want to apologize to everyone because I don't think I hate anyone.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was putting that vibe out into the world so much.
Okay.
I don't know if it's like my social anxiety just comes, people perceive it as me being like mean and rude.
Yeah, I guess. Well, so here's the deal, because, and this is something that we all need to realize in the comedy world, is we can't judge what a comedian is like on stage to off stage. Because when we're on stage, that's our own little piece of living. You know, that's what we love to do. We're on stage and we just feel alive. And you're on stage. If somebody sees you on stage, they could easily make the assumption that you are not a shy person.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, because you're engaged, and I think I am pretty aware that you're a shy person, but I think a lot of times people don't make that connection. People just feel like that guy that was hamming it up on stage is now ignoring me off stage. You know, that's like a.
Yeah. No, I'm just not talking because I'm like, does anyone here even like me? I'm in my own head about stuff.
Yeah, I don't think.
And then people are like, Tyler, I think Tyler hates me. And I'm like, fuck, what am I doing?
Yeah, I mean.
I don't know. Like, I don't know how to fix this problem.
Yeah. I guess you would have to just force yourself to engage with annoying people.
Yeah, I'm bad at pretending. You
can really not like them.
I'm so bad at pretending.
Yeah. It's like, thank God you don't talk to these people. That's why you don't dislike them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not walking out of the open mic because I hate you. I'm walking out because you don't want me in there. I'm going to fuck your setup if you look at my face during your set. I'm trying to do a favor.
Yeah, my face is a very bad audience member. Yeah. You're getting heckled by my gaze.
Yeah, you don't want my dead stare.
All right. Well, sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
Tyler doesn't hate you. He just has crippling social anxiety that's not allowing him to pretend to enjoy your bullshit.
Yeah, you just have to put up with it until I will talk to you. I will eventually.
Okay, cool.
I'm like a rescue animal. I'll open up at some point.
So what if you don't mind me asking, what gets you to open up?
I think it's just being around people for a long time. I just get comfortable with them eventually.
Okay. All right, you're just like, all right. They don't hit me.
Yeah. I think most, like, because I've had this conversation with friends, and they're also like, yeah, when we met, I thought you hated me too. It's just, I just put the time in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if it's any consolation, I always was under the impression that you were kind of shy.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. But I'm also not a retard like some of our comedian peers are. I'm not a self-indulgent retard. But yeah, all right. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good blanket apology. Are you working on it?
I do try. I am trying.
Okay. He's sorry. He's working on it.
Yeah. I'm working on it. And also, this is probably part of the apology too. I am sorry. There's too many people whose names I don't know and I'm too far into relationships with to ask. Because that is another part of my anxiety.
Yeah. That's fair. Dude, you got to rip that Band-Aid
off. I know. I'm like, I've been seeing this person once a month for 6 months probably. And we talk for hours sometimes. And I'm like, I don't know his name.
Yeah. And the part that's annoying about it too, is because it seems like a lot of the people that had bad, or a lot of people that were bad with names are people whose names are easily memorable for whatever it is about them. Like you're a tall guy, right?
Yeah.
It's easy to remember. And it's also, you have Langlois, right? You have a...
Yeah, they all know my name.
People know your name. Yeah. Like, people know my name. I'm like, there are not too many black guys with a box in the comedy scene, right? So I stand out, and then I don't know other people. But recently, I've just been like, what's your name again?
Yeah, it's a lot of, hey, Tyler's, and then me going, hey, how's it going?
And that was a lot of whys in that head. Yeah.
Just me racing my brain. Where did I meet you? What is your... Do I know your name? Am I following you on Instagram that I could look it up?
Yeah. All right.
I got hit with that just at Helium the other night where I'm like, oh, let me put your Instagram in. I'm probably not even following you. And then he pulled it up and I was.
Mm.
I was like, fuck, I have even less of an excuse.
Yeah. All right. That's two apologies.
Yeah, two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry he doesn't hate you, and sorry he doesn't know your name, and he doesn't really have a cool way to find it out.
Yeah. If you think I don't know your name, I don't.
Chakra popped.
Yes.
That was a pelvis chakra. Pretty popped. Ace, take it away.
All right. We're to the gut chakra. So, Tyler, how do you move past disappointment either in yourself or in loved ones?
Okay. I think... for like, yeah, disappointment, I try and detach from it and with not let the feeling of it affect me as much as it would, and like try and process it through from a detached perspective of like, why am I disappointed? What did I do? Don't get wrapped in the feeling of disappointment and like wallow in it.
Hmm.
Because I do, that's a thing I'm working on as well. These are all things I'm working on.
Okay. Now, this particular method of dealing with disappointment, is this a disappointment in others or disappointment in yourself?
Disappointment, that's definitely disappointment in myself. For others, I guess I kind of do a similar thing where I'm trying to not put my thought processes on the way they're behaving.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a thing I had a hard time just realizing, is that not everyone thinks the same way I do, so they're not going to behave in a way that I would.
Yeah, everybody has been doing drugs so much longer.
Yeah.
you're new to the game.
Yeah.
So, all right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So, in this section, I always like to ask this question. Is there a time in your lifetime, whether when you were younger, when you were doing maybe a sport or maybe some sort of performance art, where you have a disappointment that still lingers in your mind to this day?
See, I was very bad at sports, so I'm not really, and I never cared, so I'm not disappointed in any of those.
Okay.
I did tap dance for a while.
Tyler. What the hell? you wore tap shoes?
Yeah. I tap danced from second grade and I quit in seventh grade because that's
a long time.
Yeah, I made friends and they didn't think it was cool. I was like, yeah, it's not. I don't know why I do it, and I quit.
So what kind of tap dancing outfits do you wear? Because I'm imagine like were they slacks? Were they like leotards? Were you wearing, you know, like the very glittery, like glossy button up shirts, you know? Did you have gloves?
So like for like the yearly recital, it was a lot of, my teacher was an older woman. Mm-hmm. And she would hand make, she oh, wow. thought herself a seamstress.
Yes.
And she would make a lot of costumes that had a lot of sequins, a lot of American flag patterns.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Very shiny, lots of sparkles and glitter and real gay stuff.
All right. So did you ever have a top hat and a cane?
Oh, at least once for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. what was your, and we'll get to the disappointment that might have revolved around tap in a second, but what was your favorite big finish?
My favorite big finish.
Yeah. What was your tap dance closer?
Oh, I don't know. I can, that's the thing. I think my disappointment is that I quit so easily. Okay. I think I was decent at it. I was just so embarrassed, and this has been my personality my whole life. So yeah. It never made sense that I was doing it. No one.
How did you start? Was it,
quit baseball because I was so bad and hated it so much. And my parents were like, you have to do something. And they went to a silent auction around the same time and won a gift bag that had free lessons to a dance studio in it.
Yeah.
And I guess I don't know, maybe I saw what's his name? Savion Glover on Sesame Street or something, tap dancing.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was like, he seems cool. Let me give that a shot.
He seems cool. So do you ever find yourself tapping?
No, I haven't. I separated myself from it for so long. I don't know if I could do it anymore. I don't know if I know any of the moves.
Wow.
Yeah.
you don't even.
I forgot. Someone brought it. There was a time where someone brought it up, and I was like, oh yeah, I did that.
Yeah, but you don't even find yourself every now and again getting light footed.
Well, I mean, I guess I still dance in my own ways at times.
Yeah.
I go to a lot of hardcore shows and I'm in the mosh pit the whole time. That's when the music moves me.
Man, I would love to see him in a mosh pit doing that, sliding his feet back and forth with his hands forward.
Yeah, just doing air karate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to be, spin kick was my big move for that.
Okay.
It was a big, just a 300-pound man spin kicking.
Like a capoeira style spin kick where it goes... Or
I guess where I would kick backwards and my head would go down and I'd spin up around that.
Yeah, that's capoeira.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. I knocked a couple people out doing that by accident.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I understand your disappointment that surrounds tap with the fact that you quit so easily, but I have to know, Tyler, while tap dancing, did you ever jump into a split?
No, I never. That was never a move for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think I quit tap because I made friends, and also they were like, if you want to be on our school's competition team, you also have to do ballet. And I was like, that's where I drew the line.
Yeah.
I was like, ballet is too gay.
Yeah. That is a legitimate line. All right. I will consider that a chakra popped.
I agree.
Right?
Yes.
Feeling good.
Yeah.
Tyler, we are cooking.
Okay.
Ace, take it away.
Right. We are to the heart chakra. So, Tyler, what have you learned from grief?
Okay. Now, this is a weird thing because I think I don't process grief properly.
Okay.
When people die, I don't really think of, I have a hard time thinking about them as dead. I just think I haven't seen them in a while.
Mm.
But I process all my grief through movies and music, I think.
Mm. Okay.
I am the easiest cry in a movie. If I didn't cry while watching a movie, I'm like, that was a bad movie.
All right.
And that's the thing. I just realized, because I would get upset. I'd be like, why did, a big person in my life, when I was younger, my uncle died. And I beat myself up. I'm like, why didn't I cry at that?
Mm-hmm.
My dad cried. I never see my dad cry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with me? And then I'm like, then I get mad at myself. Now I'm spending all my time thinking about what's wrong with me. Why didn't I cry? I'm still not even thinking about the fact that my uncle's dead. I'm still not upset.
Yeah.
I'm turning this into a thing about me.
Yeah, man, that is pretty funny. Yeah. It's like your uncle's dead and you're like, man, why can't I cry? This is so sad.
Yeah.
It's just man. All right, cool. So what is, so now that you process through movies and music, do you seek out when you're dealing with a grief situation, do you seek out movies and music so that you can cry? Or is it just something that is collateral?
I think it's collateral to, and then, I don't know if you guys experience this, where you stumble upon the things that you didn't know you were looking for. You'll find that, I'll just watch that movie. I'm like, I didn't even know this is exactly what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
It is the universe just lined it up for me.
Okay. Do you watch Pixar movies?
Some. I haven't seen them all.
Okay. Do you see Big Hero 6?
I have seen Big Hero 6. I have cried while watching Big Hero 6.
That's a hard movie to not cry.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't cry during Big Hero 6, you're broken.
Yeah. Inside Out, I'll cry within the first minute.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. There's certain movies where I'm like, oh, I'm not even 10 minutes in yet. I'm a mess. I'm like, thank God I'm alone.
All right.
Yeah. That's, I've wept at concerts. I'll do it all.
Yeah? What concerts did you weep at? Because like a hardcore show?
I guess, yeah. All sorts of shows, yeah.
You're like spin kicking and crying at the same time?
No, if I'm spin kicking, I'm usually smiling.
Okay.
But no, there's this band, Touche Amore. This is a big one that I remember. This band, Touche Amore. I was seeing them in Thursday. This band Thursday is from New Jersey.
Okay.
And I hadn't even listened to Touche Amore in a while. And just the first note of the first song they hit just like opened like the floodgates. And I was just like, boom, just weeping immediately. I was like pulling my hat down, putting my hood up. I was like, my friend just standing there next to me, like bobbing his head slightly to the music. And I'm like,
all right. I'm not familiar with a lot of, this brand of music. Just pick any one song from Touche Amore.
Yeah.
Just pick any one song from them and just give me like what does it sound like?
His a lot of yelling, but all the lyrics are about, you know, him dealing with depression, him wanting to kill himself, there was a whole album about his mom dying, dealing with that.
Okay.
It's all just like very deep, like, you know, turmoil style stuff.
So you did a great job of describing it, but okay. Tyler, I am specifically asking you to make musical sounds with your mouth right now.
Oh.
Like, So you know what song I was referring referencing right now, right?
You. Mm-hmm.
So what does it sound like?
I don't want to do that.
I think this guy hates me. What is wrong with him? He doesn't want to explain music to me. This is,
I don't know,
terrible.
It's screamo music.
Oh, okay. So it's like it make your throat itchy afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I got you.
Yeah. You know, lyrics about staring out a car window and thinking about dying, stuff like that.
Yeah. Is it like, wah, wah,
wah, yeah, watching the scenery pass you by and feeling nothing, stuff like that.
Okay. Very Tyler-esque music. All right. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. And thank you for sharing all that, man.
Yes.
I consider that a grief chakra popped.
Yes.
Right? Chakra popped.
Mm-hmm.
Ace, take it away.
All right. We are to the throat chakra. So, Tyler, what's a favorite lie that you tell or have told? Extra karmic points if it's still in rotation.
Okay. What is a lie I tell? I don't know. I try and be pretty honest, but there's definitely got to be something. I don't know. Maybe I feel like sometimes I feel like I might be like oomphing up my traumatic childhood. I'm always afraid that I'm like, am I lying about some of this? Am I making it worse than it was?
Okay.
Have I turned it into a story?
Yeah. I mean, well, wow. This is.
Am I a fraud? Am I a fraud about everything?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a very interesting one, right? Because so you were being raised by someone who was an alcoholic and a possible heroin addict.
Yeah.
And you were moving around from place to place, sometimes being plucked out of your bed in the middle of the night and relocated.
Yeah, but my parents, from the time my parents got separated to the time my dad got custody of me, was probably like 2.5 years.
Okay.
So part of me sometimes like, I feel like I base a lot of stuff off that, and it's a real small part of my life. I don't know if, am I just trying to have a thing?
Okay. Well, time wise, possibly a small percentage of your life, but traumatic event wise, the amount of hijinks that a heroin addict can get up to in 2.5 years, there's no cap on that.
It's also a lot of your childhood. Like, you know, like you've got those formative years when you're young.
Yeah.
And like 2.5 years isn't a lot of 30 years, but 2.5 years is a lot of like 14 years or 16 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. It was kindergarten until second grade.
Yeah, those are formative years.
Those are very formative years. And that's when you have less ability to affect your life, and things that happen in like to you and around you are way scarier.
Yeah.
During that time period.
Tyler, your childhood was the shit.
Yeah, it's really bumping us out. Yeah. All right, but so what? Are there any particular stories, or like, is there any one thing from not one? I mean, because again, what you just explained makes a lot of sense, and I totally get that. Maybe feeling like a fraud for the trauma that you experienced in your lifetime because it was such a short amount
Sydney,
of time.
I mean, Sydney had a crazy childhood, and like the part that he explains to us and, you know, the kids a lot is that like, even though there were all those crazy parts to it, like there were still like childhood moments with like your mom, like, you know, there's still like, and like, she was still a good person, and there was still,
she was still a person.
A person. Yeah.
She was still a person. And even though it was a very shitty time period, there were still laughs. There were still good times. There were still beautiful sunsets. You know, there were still things in that time period that didn't suck, although net, it was a sucky time period.
Oh, yeah. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, I wouldn't say that I feel like a fraud for having that, for remembering that being a traumatic time period, but sometimes when my brother and I are talking about that time period, we have to remind ourselves that, yeah, we also laughed a lot during that too, you know?
Yeah.
Like I experienced something very similar where we were being plucked out of our beds and being moved. We moved. So we lived in a town called Pottstown. It's not too far from here. And from the time I was, say, around 4 years old and can remember and start counting until I was in, I think it was sixth grade when we got sent to live with our grandma.
Okay.
So from four to about sixth grade, I lived in 11 different places in the same town.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I can think of one in those two and a half years, 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 4 or 5 places.
That's a lot of relocating.
Yeah.
That's a lot of relocating.
Yeah. Like went to school like 20 days out of the year. Like never got sent to school.
Yeah, that's wild because I actually did go to school a lot. My brother is the one that somehow wasn't, because I was in middle school and he was in elementary school for some of this period. So I had to go to school earlier than him, and then I would leave and go to school, and then my mom just wouldn't send him to school.
Yeah, my younger brother, she never even like signed him up for, like when I started second grade, right before we moved with my dad, she didn't even sign him up for school. She's like, no, I'm just going to keep him home. He's like, he's who I hang out with.
It's my buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need a wingman. Someone to keep me grounded. All right. So I guess so then.
I don't think I have any like long ongoing lies that I tell. But it's just that general feeling of like, am I lying about some of this?
Mm.
I'm like, I think that's how I remember it.
Yeah. So I guess that's what I was trying to ask. So is there any one story that comes to mind that you feel like you might be trumping up?
I guess the one specific one is the story of my earliest memory, because it's so vague, but I feel like I've turned it into a whole event that like I have all of the recollection of, and it's like very quick flashes, and I'm like, I kind of lie when I tell this story.
Yeah.
Because my first earliest memory is being in a car accident with my birth mom. She was drunk driving, and I was I was 3 years old, sitting in the front seat of the car.
No seatbelt. Okay.
I just remember being so pumped that I was sitting in the front seat.
How bad was the accident?
Really bad. She almost died. Like they thought they had to use like the jaws of life.
Oh.
And like my dad showed up on the scene. They were like, say goodbye to your wife.
Wow.
Yeah.
And apparently like now I know, and like my dad doesn't like talking about it, but I got him to tell the story once.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he just started screaming at her because they found me. I was like weirdly unhurt. I came out unscathed.
Yeah,
just were you bounced were around? You, were you,
yeah. I believe I was launched through like a bullet through the windshield.
Okay.
Yeah, just like a midget out of a cannon.
Yeah.
And they found my brother's car seat in the woods because he was like a baby. He was just born. Like,
and he was in it?
No, she left him home.
Oh, gotcha.
He was just chilling by himself at home.
Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah.
Thank God. She made a good choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was I think he was like a lot of him yelling like, where is he? Like, and she was like, you know, she's out of it. She's drunk and just like, you know, she has like a thing pinned through her leg and they think it like hit the artery. So it's
oh,
like,
wow.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Dude. And then, they stayed together for like another couple of years.
Wow. All right. So where do you feel like you're lying?
There's one part these people say it never happened. One of the biggest parts of that I like the strongest thing I remember as I was laying on my back on rocks and there were a bunch of people with pale faces looking down on me. And according to my family, that never happened. Like they apparently someone told me once that I was discovered just wandering around.
Yeah. Everybody had even tans.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then sometimes I'm like, I know it happened. Do I remember it?
But yeah.
I'm like, people have told me about it. I'm like, am I just saying I remember it at this point?
Okay, now so.
But that flash, those flashes of like right before being in the car
mm-hmm.
and like just being happy that I was sitting in the front seat, carefree, and then the moment right after are the two blips that I have.
Yeah.
And the rest of the story around it, I've like just built out through context.
Okay.
And I'm like, I hope I'm not making this up. Again, it's weird. All that stuff is so vague and fucked up. I feel like my brain like kind of blocks some of it out.
Yeah. Chakra popped.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, I don't. That's the only thing I can say. At
yeah.
What a wild story, Tyler.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, goodness gracious. I mean, thankfully you're still here. I mean, I wouldn't have known you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have lost anything.
Yeah.
But, you know.
You wouldn't be mourning the loss.
No, not at all.
You wouldn't be sitting here guestless today.
Yeah, man. Crazy.
Yeah.
All right. And this is because we always do that. I'm not trying to run away from this.
Yeah.
But Ace, take it away.
All right. We're to the third eye chakra. So we're out of the physical into the metaphysical.
Okay.
So, Tyler, what's something, two things you've always thought of as separate, but now that you've gotten older, you've learned that these two things are really one. They're really the same.
Okay.
Try to get fancy on that one.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two things I thought were separate but are the same.
Yeah.
Like feelings?
Could be.
I don't know.
Wait, did that make it harder or easier?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Like, do we? I'm like, can I? I feel like I'm like, can I ask for an example?
Yes.
Yeah. You want to give an example?
A couple of people have said friends and family.
Okay.
Because when you're younger, you know, your friends are here and your family's here. But as you get older, you learn that you really kind of can choose your family, and some of your friends become your family.
Okay. Yeah.
It becomes one and the same.
All right, no, I can't use that. I don't know. Two things that are the same, but I thought were different. Okay, I guess within the past like 2 years, I've been saying I'm asexual. And I used to get so hung up on thinking I needed to have a girlfriend. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I would like hyper obsess on it. And I'm like, oh, I'm so weird that I'm alone, whatever. And then I'd bum myself out. And then, I realized I'm like, oh, I don't have a connection with anybody. And then I think I realized like, oh, like my connection with my friends is very like, I'm still connecting with people. I was like, I'm not alone. I'm not actually alone. I still have tons of people in my life around me. Just because I'm not dating doesn't mean I'm alone. I'm like, oh, I have friends and family that I connect with, and I get a lot out of it. And like, I can make connection. You know, you're connecting with people on different levels, and like, you know, connecting is connecting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if it's, you know, a romantic relationship or a friendship, really. It's like you're still sharing parts of yourself with people.
Yeah.
That's a great answer.
Mm-hmm.
Connecting is connecting, man.
Mm-hmm.
Man, now I'm about to cry. That was a very Pixar answer, Tyler. Yeah, man, I don't think I have any follow-ups to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
For someone who thought they were having such a trouble answering that question, you really fucking nailed it, dude.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, that's the first time that we got that answer.
For sure. Yeah.
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 And I don't know if I've ever took the time to even think through that.
Yeah.
You know? And that is... I don't know why this is hitting me so hard, but this is, I feel like this was like something impactful enough to change the way that I'm perceiving my relationships with people.
Yeah. I feel like I, you know, there's all these people that in my life are super important to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, just because I'm not, you know, fucking any of them doesn't mean those relationships are less important.
Okay, now you made it gross. No, I guess the reason why it's impacting me so much is, again, I think it's that word impact. That's what I'm focusing on. I think I guess I'm always impacting people, whether I'm like interacting with them or not interacting with them. When I'm in a situation where it's me and other people, there isn't really a way for me to not be impacting the environment and each individual person somehow. And I need to be cognizant of that. I need to be, well, I didn't even like, why did that person think that? I didn't even talk to them. You know, it's like, because, well, I was ignoring them the whole entire time and I'm not shy.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
yeah.
So yeah, I guess that's why it's.
I guess this kind of loops back into my apology a little bit too, where I'm like, oh, I actually guess I am, now that I'm saying this out loud, I guess I am affecting all these people who think they hate me.
Yeah,
I hate them.
Yeah, yeah, because whether you like it or not, your experience in their presence is a type of connection.
Yeah.
Damn, Tyler, we need to fix us. But still, a very good answer. Very good answer. And definitely a third eye chakra popped.
Yes.
Are you impacted by this? Like, she has a very healthy social life.
Okay.
Well, I mean, like, she is a little bit of a weirdo too, but she's good at this stuff. But
it makes me think about, like, you know, sometimes ladies, as they get older in life, they're like, I'm sick and tired of men and their creepy weirdness and, like, you know, mm-hmm. everything that comes along with a man. And so, like, there for a little while there was like all these news stories about ladies that once they had gotten to an older age, like a retirement age, decided to live together because they wanted partnership, but they weren't lesbians, like, mm-hmm. they weren't looking for that romantic relationship, they just wanted a person that they was in their house that was like a companion that filled that you know, that person for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it makes me think about that. You know?
Yeah, it makes complete sense to me.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great way to live.
Yeah.
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 Just hanging out with the homies.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Chakra popped.
Yes.
Wait, do you want to leave me and go live with a bunch of broads?
I mean, you got to get your shit, keep your shit together.
Okay.
Get your shit together. You're just talking about how you need to fix yourself, so.
Tyler, keep a spot open just in case. I might need a spot.
I mean, little secret, I think ladies talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, chakra popping. Now we have some stuff we need to work on in our relationship. Thank you, Tyler.
My bad.
All right, Ace, take it away.
All right, we did it. We're at the crown chakra. So, Tyler, two-part questions. What's one thing you can't give up and why, and what would giving it up mean?
Oh, I have a, it's a thing I'm attempting to give up and I can't seem to. I've had for probably since middle school, had a pretty bad energy drink addiction.
Oh. Mm. Monsters?
Yes.
Monsters. You're a monster guy?
I'm a monster man myself.
Since middle school, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, since well, the first one I ever had was a Full Throttle. They were selling them at the Little League by my grandma's house where I lived with my dad. And I didn't play baseball, but I would go to the Little League every day to buy a Full Throttle.
I gotta get throttled.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll drink four of those, play wall ball.
Yeah, okay. And then you got into Monsters after that? Or
yeah.
How many different energy drinks did it take for you to land on Monster?
I mean, pretty shortly after Monster became the go-to. You know, you always mix it up a little bit. But
okay.
No, the...
So what do you mix it up with? What other Monster?
Maybe a Red Bull sometimes.
Okay.
Yellow Red Bull's nice. But mostly it's the biggest can of Monster with the screw top.
Mm.
Because
I always think of them as the
pop top.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm doing the one that's two full servings.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you're still a did you have a Monster today?
No, I had exercising definitely helps with the quitting because I take pre workout and then I'm like, well, if I'm taking a pre workout with 390 milligrams of caffeine in it, my heart would probably explode and I'd die.
Yeah.
And so not drinking Monster is now out of self preservation because I'm like, I'll kill myself.
So that's why you're working out so much now. Gotta get that pre-workout. I need that pre-workout.
How many Monsters a day would, like, when you're at your height of your addiction?
If it was normal sized cans, not the big screw top, maybe like five.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You ever have I've had too many?
There was a bad time because right after high school, I moved to Utah and lived with my aunt and uncle for like 9 months. And I did a semester school out there. And I was probably also the most depressed I'd ever been, just in bad mental state, just not taking care of myself or anything. And there was a day because I wouldn't sleep. And I think I took a 5-hour energy drink and I chased it with a Monster.
Wow.
Wow. And I went to work my job at Kmart. And
never started tap dancing during
just
these times.
Disassociated for my whole shift, and like that was probably like that should have been like rock bottom. That was like one of my worst experiences on it. Like I was like just disassociating, thinking I was like gonna have a heart attack and die. Like texting people, like I feel insane. Like
yeah. So now I don't know if you were sleepwalking or if Monster Energy was just taking the wheel and
just blacking out on energy drinks.
Oh man, that's pretty wild, Tyler.
Yeah.
Now, I was about to ask you what you do with all that Monster energy.
No, I just do that. I just this level of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like I was like be like, damn, Tyler's fun to be around now when he's a Monster. It's like no, it's just I'm drinking all of those to still do this.
But you go to hardcore shows.
Yeah.
That's a Monster energy activity.
True.
Are you a wrestling fan?
Not really, but I did watch. I did watch WrestleMania. I just actually watched it last night.
Okay,
and I did cry watching it. I was like, "Damn, this is so good." I was so wrapped up.
What are you down to? Like, how many Monsters a week do you do?
Now maybe I'll still have one like twice a week.
Okay, that's
but only
not bad.
One. Like it used to be like even like. A year ago, it would be like one in before work, one before I went out.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, but now he's doing pre-workouts.
Pre-workouts.
So how often do you have a pre-workout?
I do the pre-workouts on the weekends when I work out in the morning.
Okay.
Otherwise, I don't use pre-workout.
Mm-hmm.
And then so it's probably 3 days of pre-workout, 2 days of Monster, 2 days of no caffeine. Is that seven?
Yeah. Yeah. That's 7 total days.
Yeah.
And then so what would giving up Monster energy drinks mean to you, or what would it be to you? Who would Tyler be without Monster?
I don't know, because I think I'm known as a Monster guy to a lot of people. Yeah, people people just, I'll just get sent pictures of like sometime from friends, like as they know.
Yeah.
I have a monster backpack that was one with bottle caps or
God. You are a monster energy guy.
Yeah.
Man, you're like part of the culture.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm kind of ashamed of.
All right.
I think when I finally let it go, I'll be shedding a part of myself I don't need anymore.
Okay.
Man.
Yeah. And who do you think, and this, of course, this is speculation because you're still a monster guy.
Yeah.
But once you shed the monster, what will emerge from that chrysalis?
Hopefully just a guy who takes care of himself properly. the fight I've been fighting for a while.
I think that makes all the sense.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think there's a chakra popped.
All right.
We did it. Tyler, how do you feel?
I feel pretty good, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you feel different than when you came in here?
Yes. Definitely.
I didn't ask better. I just said different.
Different, yes. Definitely different. I think better.
Okay, cool. And do you have time to stick around for the Patreon?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right, cool. And is there anything that at this point that you would like to promote and let people know about?
Just follow me on Instagram at Tyler J. Langlois. Langlois.
Yeah, I was about to say just like it sounds, spelled just like it, but Langlois. Tyler Langlois, follow the man. Funny guy. And now we're going to hop into the Patreon. Of course, our Patreon is only $1. Get you all of our exclusive content. On the Patreon, what we're about to do now is we're going to pop open Tyler's shadow chakras. It's a little different. Also very similar. But very much different. It's an entirely different show.
Yeah, shadow sounds like it's the dark side.
It is the dark side, Tyler. Okay. This was not the dark side. And as above is below, and we're about to get below.
Yes.
On Tyler, which sounds inappropriate. So yeah, $1, all of our exclusive content. Other than that, oh, and check out my new podcast. I just dropped it. It's called Break the World with Sydney. It's a solo podcast where I'm just all my takes on all the things that I have takes. I'm just giving it to you. It's a fun time. I just did the first episode. I talked about OJ. I talked about the eclipse. I talked about athletic gayness, gay athleticness. Come check it out. It's a good time. Other than that, we love you guys, and we are out.
See ya.